eyes for our gospel lesson this morning. It comes from the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 26, and also verses 32 through 42. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Today we visit Gethsemane, and so we turn again to Adam Hamilton as he prepares us for our journey into the olive grove. And we'll invite him now to join us.
It was about 11 o'clock at night when Jesus and his disciples left the upper room, having celebrated their Passover Seder. They took the torches and they walked across the Kidron Valley once more down from the upper city and to this place, the Olive Grove. This is known as the Garden of Gethsemane, and Gethsemane means olive press. And it was here that Jesus came to pray, to agonize, to be tempted and tested once more, and to finally fully surrender his life to God's will. This is the oldest tree in the Garden of Gethsemane, 3,000 years old, some scholars believe. It was here for 1,000 years when Jesus came to pray on that night of his agony. And tradition says Peter, James, and John knelt at this place while Jesus went on ahead to pray in his agony. And you remember that it was here they fell asleep. Jesus came back and asked the question, "Could you not even stay awake for 1 hour to watch and pray with me?" And that begs the question, are there moments in our lives when we, like Peter, James, and John, have disappointed God because we were not able to stay awake and watch and pray, because we weren't careful to continue to walk in his path, or we walked away from him when he needed us most? As we hear this story and we remember this tree, we ask that question of ourselves: when have I been like Peter, James, and John, unable to stay awake and watch and pray with the Lord?
Let's pray together. Today, O God, as we come together, we journey with you to Gethsemane, to be with your Son, to be open to what all takes place there, and to be in tune with our Lord at this time, to understand more deeply what he went through and what he goes through for us. Today, as we gather, may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The hour was late when Jesus and his disciples concluded the Passover Seder. They departed for the Mount of Olives with a song on their lips, but with disturbing words on their minds. Disturbing words of Jesus racing through their minds. "I tell you the truth, that one of you will betray me. One of you who is eating with me here at the table." And as they traveled on the road that ran to the Kidron Valley, Jesus may have received particular comfort as he and the disciples sang the great Hallel songs, the songs of praise which come at the end of the Passover Seder, taken from Psalms 113 to 118. And perhaps they were singing this song: "Out of my distress I call upon the Lord, and with the Lord on my side I do not fear. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation." Now, as Jesus walked with his disciples along the dark road, he predicted in no uncertain terms that all would betray him. Every one of them would betray him. Or one with a kiss, and the other ones would flee because they wanted to save their own hides. They wanted to save their lives. And Jesus calls to them, "You will all become my deserters, Peter included." Oh, remember, he said he would never, never desert Jesus, never deny him. And Jesus said, "Mark my word, it will happen. All of you will betray me, including Peter." And his grief intensifies as he walks into the night. Can you imagine it? Walks into the night, and the grief that he bears just becomes almost overwhelming when he knows that his closest companions for all of these years are about to leave him, abandoned. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt that you were the only one out there, that everyone has left you and deserted you, and you didn't have anywhere or anyone, anywhere to turn or anyone to be there for you? That's where Jesus is at this point in time. There's no one there for him. You're all going to abandon me. And at the base of the Mount of Olives overlooking the Kidron Valley, the small band stops to pray along the grove of olive trees, right near the olive press, the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, the place was beautiful, and it was familiar to them all. They had been there many times before with Jesus, and it was a favorite place of Jesus for prayer, a time to be with God by himself, a time to share and to contemplate, to think about his life, to think about his calling, to think about his destiny. And he came with the disciples at this time. Oh, it was a familiar place for all of them. And Jesus instructed the disciples very simply, "I want you to sit here, if you would, while I pray. Just sit right here. It'll be all right while I go and pray." And he instructed Peter, James, and John to come with him. And scripture says, Jesus began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to the three disciples, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." Did you get that? I am deeply grieved, even to death. Stay awake. You have to remember, they just got through the Seder meal. It's hard to stay awake when you've eaten a full meal like this. And especially after they've journeyed to the garden. Stay awake! Why? Because of what I'm going through. I'd stay awake for you. Stay awake for me. And then all of a sudden caught off guard. We're caught off guard because we just don't understand this. Jesus throws himself on the ground. All the pictures look so beautiful where they show Jesus kneeling. I don't think so. He throws himself on the ground in agony. And from the depths of his soul, he prays, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, take it from me, but not my will, but what you will. That's a beautiful prayer in many ways, even though it's an agonizing prayer. Why? Because of the word Abba. Mark writes in Greek, but Abba is the Aramaic. For what? An endearing term for father. It's like we say, Dad. Hey, Pops, Daddy, Papa. Daddy, understand me. I'm dying. I'm in agony. Be with me. Take the cup away from me. In fact, the Message translation reads this way. Papa, Father, you can, can't you? Can't you get me out of this? Take the cup from me. I love it. Get me out of this, Dad. That's what usually the son says right after the accident, and he calls Dad on the phone. You need to get me out of this? Do something. For Jesus, Gethsemane is his garden of decision, the garden where he faced the greatest challenge in his life. It was not on the cross. It was before the cross. The greatest challenge. He knows he has been betrayed. He knows his enemies are near. He knows death awaits him. And he knows at the age of 33, he has his whole life before him. Can any of you remember age 33? Now, maybe if you're over 63, you don't remember 33. If you're 35, it's not too bad. And if you're not there yet, well, God bless you. But 33, my life was just beginning. I was just a young chaplain in the Air Force at 33, getting ready to spend a year on a remote assignment in Turkey. But I had my whole life before me. I had three wonderful young children and an adorable, beautiful wife. We had the future all set out for us. It was going to be grand. The age of 33, what did Jesus have to look forward to? He had the whole life ahead of him. God, if you'll just take it away from me, take this cup from me. Papa, please take it from me so I can live my life in its fullest and be your servant. The question is, can Jesus leave at this point in time? Was he free to escape under the cover of night from the Garden of Gethsemane? Would his friends shield him for a getaway and no one would see him escape? Was he able to fade into the Galilean hills and there prepare to fight for another day and to be God's servant in the world? And the answer to that question is undeniably yes. He could run. He could escape. He could get away. Ah, he could live life in his fullest. He would have a tomorrow to look forward to. And while his disciples slept, Jesus prayed, and not once, and not twice, but three times that the cup might be taken from him. Have you ever had a situation in your own life where you prayed more than once for the same thing? You wanted it so desperately, so badly. And you prayed and you prayed and you prayed that God would hear your prayer, but not only hear it, but answer it the way you would like it to be answered. And Jesus prayed three times. Jesus was not a stranger to prayer. It was part of his life. And like most of us, he turned to prayer in times of deepest agony as well as times of deepest joy. You remember 3 years earlier, he was just starting his ministry. How he was in the wilderness. Out there in the wilderness. And the evil one came to tempt him. Ah, Jesus, starting your ministry, are you? I tell you what now, people in this world want bread if you feed them. They will eat out of your hand. Take the rocks and turn it to bread. They will eat out of your hands, believe me. And he's also said, if you serve me, I'll give you the world. Just serve me. You'll have it all. You'll have everything you ever wanted. And he was tempted to tempt the Lord God. He said, if you do that and serve me, you will find a future. You see, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He didn't do it then. He didn't do it in Gethsemane. He could have gotten away. But he didn't. In Jesus' anguish, we confront our own humanity and his. Adam Hamilton raises a wonderful question in the 24 hours that changed the world. Can we allow Jesus to be a person? Can we allow Jesus to be a person? And he raises these questions. What would you be feeling if you knew that within a few hours you would be tortured? Well, what would you be feeling if you knew in a few hours you would be publicly humiliated and then subject to one of the cruelest, most inhumane, and painful forms of capital punishment ever devised by human beings? Can you sense Jesus' anguish? It is more than a pretty scene of Jesus kneeling in Gethsemane. It is anguish where one gospel says that his sweat was like blood coming from him. And Jesus prays for deliverance, and he prays that the hour might pass from him and that the cup be removed once and for all. Paul in Philippians, the second chapter, gives us some words of wisdom when he writes this about Jesus. He said, when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. And having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life. Take the cup from me, Jesus prayed. Father, Daddy, Papa, take it from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. You may remember the translation. Yet not my will, but thy will be done. For Jesus, this was not a prayer of resignation. Rather, it was one of absolute trusting in God, his Father, to be with him in the midst of the most dire and difficult situation he would ever face in his life. And in the midst of that, he knew God was with him. He knew Papa was with him. Brennan Manning writes in a wonderful book, The Glimpse of Jesus, these words about prayer. He says, authentic prayer calls us to rigorous honesty, to come out of hiding and to quit trying to seem impressive, to acknowledge our total dependence on God and the reality of our sinful situation. It is a moment of truth when defenses fall and the masks drop in an instinctive act of humility. Whoa. It's laying it all out there. It's not trying to be somebody. And this is Jesus at Gethsemane. This is about as weak as you'll ever find him, as honest as he could ever be. And he acknowledges his personal dependence on God in an act of humility. And he shares his pain with his Father. And because of the gospel writers, he shares that pain with you and me. We have to understand it. And his final words at Gethsemane are ones of simple trust and submission to his Abba. I wonder if they shouldn't be our words as well. It just so happened that I was looking at Philip Yancey's book on prayer this last week. I don't know if you've ever picked up that book. Fairly thick, but absolutely superb on the subject of prayer by Philip Yancey. And he made reference to the diary of private prayer written in 1949 by John Bailey, who at the time was the distinguished professor of divinity at the University of Scotland and a well-read author. A diary of private prayer. And I thought about, well, I have that somewhere. Now, I realize I didn't get it in 1949, but I have the book somewhere. And so I looked through the library shelves, and sure enough, there was that little book on private prayer. It was in my library. It was a bit tattered with yellowing pages, much like the owner. But it was still intact in every way, shape, or form. And one of his prayers focuses on our gratitude for Jesus, God's greatest gift. And as he lifts up his prayer of thanksgiving, he thanks God for his greatest gift, Jesus, in our lives. And he prays, "Let me remember Jesus, his eagerness not to be ministered unto, but to minister, his sympathy with suffering of every kind, his bravery in the face of his own suffering, his meekness of bearing so that when reviled, he did not revile in turn, his steadfastness of purpose in keeping to the appointed task, his simplicity, his self-discipline, his serenity of spirit, and his complete reliance upon thee, his Father in heaven." And then he says, "And in each of these ways, give me grace to follow his footsteps." Wow. At Gethsemane, what a wonderful prayer for us today. God, give me grace to follow in his footsteps. Are you sleeping? Are you resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go now. Here comes the betrayer.